you want to continue to pray for Billy. He's still under the weather and battling the flu. And of course, last week you had the second string in, and this week you've got the third string in, filling in. So no, we're if you've been in Billy's class long, the last three times I filled in for him, we were doing a study through the Sermon on the Mount, looking at Christ's words when he spoke. We do something a little different. And I thought we'd have a little fun, but still it's going to be biblical based. And the reason I'm thinking we'd do something a little different. We set today exactly in the middle between Christmas and New Year's. 3 days ago was Christmas, 3 months from now is New Year's. So I wanted us to focus, believe it or not, on the new year. The pastor and I did not talk. He focused on the accomplishments of this past year. I want us to look at the year ahead. And I'm going to start by reading this verse, and then we'll get into the lesson. It's in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So we're going to look ahead, and I've got scripture throughout the lesson today, and it's bouncing around. I'll give you the scripture when we get to it. And normally I teach from the New American Standard Version, but today I'm using the New King James, the New American Standard, and the New Living Translation. So I'm using them all. So when I get to those scriptures, it may be a little different than what you see in your Bible. And I'm going to ask Laura to come up and be my scribe for a few minutes. She does a great job. We're going to move this out just a little bit. Hopefully everybody can see it. So, and she's a school teacher, so she can do this. Yeah. Kind of the same. All right. How many of you plan to make New Year's resolutions? Oh, come on. I forgot to tell you, this is going to be a participatory class today. So how many are making New Year's resolutions? All right, now here's what I want you to do. Are you brave enough to share one or two of your New Year resolutions so the scribe can write them up here? What's one of your New Year resolutions? What are they? What's one of them going to be?
Okay, I plan to make this a year where prayer and I become intimate.
Okay. That's a good one. What else? Nancy, did you have one?
Yes.
I want to be more organized.
More organized, okay. That's good. There's a method to my madness here, so we'll get.
My priorities are in order. Where prayer, God's first, everything else is.
Okay. Yep. Priorities. God first.
All right. Exercise more. Ooh. Exercise more. I'm going to let you do that for me. What's that?
To keep CW in line.
There you go.
That's impossible.
I'm in charge. Give me one. To be a better person and know God better. Good. Oh, okay. Reading Scripture daily. Read Scripture daily.
Be a better person, read Scripture daily.
Yeah, that would be number six.
When I have to go fast, it's next.
Bolder witness. Number seven. You done? Anybody else? Okay. All right. Read the Bible through. That's a good one. More involved in church. We take one more, make it an even 10 if somebody wants to give me one. One more. Make it an even 10. David? Open to the Spirit. Be open to the Spirit. Be good. Diana's got one. We'll go 11. Declutter. 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 And I know it's going to be hard for most. Oh, that'll be good. Thank you, Scribe. Appreciate it. You done good. It's over here. All right. y'all have heard the request or the resolutions, and I don't think I have to go through them again, but they're up here. Let me see how well your list compares to everyone else's list for their top 10 resolutions in 2025. These were the top 10 in 2025. Exercise more. Lose weight. Get organized. Learn a new skill or hobby. Live life to the fullest. Save more money. Quit smoking. I didn't hear that from any of y'all. But... Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more and read more. Now that was 2025. All right. Here are the top 10 resolutions for 2026. Believe it or not, we already have them. There was a survey conducted on the 23rd of December asking Americans their resolutions for 2026. And this starts out percentage-wise, so the highest percentage is 25%, and then it goes down to 15. Number one, exercise more. Number two, being happy. Number three, eating healthier. Number four, saving money. Number five, improving physical health. Then losing weight. Then improving mental health. Learn something new. Spend more time with family. And then the top 10, there was a tie for the top 10 at 15% each. And this kind of surprised me. Pray more and read more. That really shocked me that prayer made the top 10 list when you're asking Americans what their New Year's resolutions are. Well, like I said, the pastor and I didn't talk. He talked about the year in review. We're going to look at moving ahead. And the start of the new year always brings the urge to review the past and also make some significant plans for the future. There's an excitement as you year. And many people, when it comes to their resolutions, focus on health, wealth, and growth. But if we truly want to make a change, we really should begin with our spiritual resolutions that concern our spiritual lives. And of course, the Bible, as you know, offers a myriad of advice on how to live a good and meaningful life. And it's even got some resolutions that could help make a real difference for us as we begin the new year. So I entitled today's lesson, 7 Biblical Resolutions for the New Year. Why 7? It's perfect number.
Completion.
Y'all heard that in the service this morning. Teacher's preference. I've told y'all when you sit under a teacher, you get their bias and their opinions. Well, I just thought we'd do 7. So we're going to look at 7. Y'all gave us 11. We're going to look at 7. And we're going to start out by how I want to do this. I'm going to read the scripture to you. You give me the resolution. Okay? I'm going to read the scripture. You give me the resolution. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. What's the resolution?
Memorize scripture.
That's a good one. It's not what I had down, but read the Bible. And according to Joshua, meditate on it day and night. Now, meditating on God's Word shows us how to live and to stay focused. But when we read the Bible, a lot of times and I'm guilty of this too, I want to read the Bible through in a year, and I just read. But to meditate on it means we may have to read a chapter at a time, or even a verse at a time, and really ponder what it says, and pray about it. And might even do a word search or whatever to really understand what that passage is telling us. We may want to, as I said, pray over it, even keep a journal. A lot of you keep journals when you read the Bible, and I think that's a great thing to do. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Mike, this is Christianity 101. We know we're supposed to read the Bible every day. Oh, do we? I found Lifeway Research. Y'all are all familiar with Lifeway, aren't you? They provide all our Christian resources and things that we use in the church and in the Baptist church. This is a survey from Lifeway. How often do Christians read the Bible? Every day, what do you think the percent is? 32% of Christians read the Bible every day. 27% read it a few times a week. 12% read it once a week. 11% read it a few times a month. 5% read it once a month. And nearly 13% of Christians, this is evangelical Protestant Christians, never read the Bible. I don't want to say, is it comical to make your resolution to read the Bible every day? Obviously, we need to do it. If you look at Lifeway Resource, according to them, their last comment was, Christians say the Bible is God's Word. But even among evangelical Protestant churchgoers, only a third spend time reading the Bible every day. Our first resolution is to read God's Word on a daily basis. All right, number 2, Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the resolution? Encourage each other. Be in church. Again, you're going to say, Mike, that's pretty basic. Be in church. We often hear Christians, and we all have heard people say, I don't have to go to church to worship. You hear it a lot. And you hear it from supposedly evangelical Christians. I don't have to go to church to worship. Can y'all think back to how it was pre-COVID? What church was like pre-COVID? Most of them were full. And then during COVID, we became bedside Baptists. We spent our whole Sundays in worship watching it on TV. Bedside Baptist is what the term came to be known as. Some came, but most. But then there was that time period we had to watch online. The pastor came, and the worship folks, I think, came, but we had to stay home for a few weeks. It's interesting that even since we're on the other side of COVID, there's a good percentage of our church members that have not come back to church. Ask the pastor to tell you roughly how many he thinks. He don't even know where they are. They've quit coming. They won't even come back after COVID. When we are in a church family, we get to share each other's burdens. We get to hold each other up in prayer. We get to celebrate the good times together and what God's doing in our life. And we can help hold each other accountable to what God has called us to do. We are stronger together, and we're meant to live as a community, not as individuals. When I served as chairman of the chamber, our motto for that year was hashtag stronger together. That was a perfect motto for us, stronger together. I think it's a great motto for Second Mile Church, stronger together. Well, unfortunately, again, you may say, well, that's kind of basic to attend church. Got another study for you from Gray Matter Research. And this reflects a number of the pastor's personal experience. After the pandemic, congregants are engaging differently with their local congregations. The decline in traditional in-person attendance. One of the most striking findings in the post-pandemic landscape is the decline in traditional in-person church attendance among evangelicals. That's us, y'all. Protestant evangelicals. According to the study, only 54% of Protestant evangelicals are currently engaging in the traditional model of in-person weekly church attendance. 54%. Sounds to me like that'd be a pretty good resolution for us to make this next year. Attend church regularly. And as I read more of this study, it talked about the difficulties the pastors were having. And many of them have come to just say, okay, if you come to church once a month or twice a month, you're a regular attender. Once or twice a month. That same study also said that pastors have a hard time teaching a series because the congregation is almost different every week. And people miss parts of the series. So it's a struggle for pastors as well. So I think a good resolution for us to make for this next year is to attend church regularly. All right. Move to number three. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What's the resolution? Let me throw in this next verse. 3 John 1:2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. What's the resolution that can come from that? We need to take care of ourselves. Y'all got it up here. Exercise more. Eat healthier. We need to take care of our bodies. However you do that, either change of diet, begin exercising, change the exercise you're doing if it's not working. But our bodies are the temple of God, and we need to take care of them. And that's a great resolution to make. Take care of ourselves. Again, this is striking, y'all. The U.S. healthcare perspective. Why is it important for us to make a resolution to take care of ourselves? The status of American health shows a paradox. Despite high spending, the U.S. lags behind other wealthy nations in key outcomes, and here they are. Shorter life expectancy. Americans generally live shorter lives and experience more illness than people in other high-income countries. High chronic disease. The U.S. has the highest rates of obesity, multiple chronic conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, COPD, and AIDS. And this really bothers me. Poor maternal and child health. The U.S. leads in infant mortality. Can you believe that? With the medical care we have, we lead in infant mortality. Low birth weight and maternal deaths. We also lead in avoidable deaths. The U.S. has the highest rate of death rates from treatable conditions and suicide as compared to their peers. Is it important to make a resolution to take care of ourselves next year? I'd say so. Especially when we recognize that our body is the temple of God. Note, God's blessing of good health begins with our souls. That's why resolution number one, number two are so important. We take care of our souls, then we take care of our bodies. All right, continue on. Y'all are getting quiet. I thought, should I do this one? Well, really the next two. Matthew 22, 35 through 39. One of them, a lawyer, asked a question testing him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ooh. Why is it so hard to love other people?
They're not lovable.
They get on your nerves. Oh my gosh, did I have to put that one in there? The resolution for 2026 is to love others. Oh. And how do we do that? We pray for them. How do we love other people?
Serve them, help them.
Oh, do I have to? Here's how we can love our neighbors. We actively care for their well-being. We treat them with the same consideration, kindness, and self-interest we naturally have for ourselves. We be there for them as demonstrated through actions like listening, helping without being asked, sharing, and showing compassion.
Don't be so judgmental.
And don't be so judgmental. That should be another resolution. But resolution number four, love others. I found this quote, and I couldn't find the author. I searched for it, so I'm just going to say it's unknown. Loving others is difficult because they are human and we are human. But in this difficulty, we come to better appreciate the quality of God's love for us. And when we love others in spite of their lack of lovability, God's Spirit shines through. He is glorified. Others are edified, and the world sees Christ in us. Mm. Love others. Matthew 22:35-39. So love others. Let's see how we're doing on time.
Oh, we're all right.
Y'all might get out early. Depends on how much more you're talking. All right. Ready for the next resolution? This would be number five, Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What's the resolution?
Forgiveness.
Another hard one. Love others, and now we got to forgive others. Yeah. Matthew 6:14. These are the words of Christ. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The hardest thing for a human to do is what? What do you think the hardest thing for a human being to do is? Forgive. Admit when they're wrong, but it's forgive. Psychologists tell us the hardest thing a human can do is subjective, but often cited are deep emotional challenges like letting go of a loved one, achieving self-control. I hate that one. Acceptance, authenticity, which is living true to yourself, and the number one thing that's the hardest for individuals to do is forgive. And we know this, holding on to unforgiveness hurts us more than it does the other person. It keeps us from a close relationship with God, actually, and withholds joy in our life. If you want abundant life that we read about in John 15, then we have to learn to forgive. Lewis Smedes, he's a Christian author and theologian, and he's known for his writings on forgiveness and grace. And he says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner was you. Wow. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner was you. All right. Let's move on. Our next verse is Matthew 20:28. Now, this one's really dear to my heart. The next two really are. Matthew 20:28, and I guess that's why the teacher put them in there. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What's the resolution? Serve others. We got to love others. We got to forgive others. And another good resolution would be to serve others. Matthew 25:34-40 reads like this, and these are the words of Christ. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The words of Jesus again. Then the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. Serve others. You know, I think there's, personally, I find great joy in serving in some capacity, doing something, serving. When we serve, we are literally the hands and feet of Jesus. You realize that? I Googled this when I was preparing the lesson. Service opportunities in Clarksville, Tennessee at Christmas time. 21 places, 22 counting your church, came up as needing volunteers to help serve other people and to help carry out their ministries. 22. So we can't say that we can't find a place to serve. We can find a place. We've just got to do it. I believe this with all my heart. One of the greatest things you can do as a Christian in 2026 is to be a servant leader in your community. I believe that with all my heart. And I also believe this. It's one of the greatest joys you'll get when you serve. You'll get such a blessing from doing it. So I think a good resolution would be to serve others. And I said we had seven. I'm not saying you got to take all seven of them. You may want to pick and choose. You may want to insert some of these in with the ones you give us. Throw it out there for your consideration. Here's the last one. Let me see how we're doing. Oh my gosh. I'm really going to have to stretch this one out. Ephesians 4, 9 through 12. And again, this one's very close to me as well. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together and they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Can you guess what might be the resolution from those verses? What it would have to deal with? Do I need to throw in one more? Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What do you think the resolution is? Yeah, and that could be a friend. Value your friendships in 2026. Value your friends. When was the last time you told a friend sincerely, I love you? I love you. You mean so much to me. When's the last time you've pulled a friend aside and told them that? Yesterday? That's good. That's good. I think a lot of times we take our friends for granted, and we don't need to do that. Did you know the word friend appears anywhere from 90 to 139 times in the Bible, depending on the translation you're using? So that tells me friends are important. The core concept of friendship is very rich in that it denotes loyalty. And I think that's important as well. There's a lesson that I prepared for Sunday school back when I was teaching college students on friends. And I used my own friends as an example. Lane knows this. There was 10 of us in high school that ran around together. We were thicker than thieves. We were brothers. We spent almost every weekend together. I'll tell you how bad it was, and Donna will back this up because she always makes fun of it. After our dates on Friday and Saturday night, we would take the girls home, and then we would meet in the bank parking lot on Madison Street and hang out till the early morning hours, sometimes late morning hours. But we all knew if we were on a date, we needed to get them home and then get back to meet. And to this day, those friendships are as tight as they were then. Bubba, you probably know the ones I'm talking about. One, unfortunately, has passed away at a young age. So there's 9 of us left. But, man, I value those friendships. I really do. And I know you've got friends yourself that you guys value. Mm-hmm. And they do. A true friend. You know, you can go on Facebook and it'll say you've got 1,800 friends. Really? You got that many friends? But close friends are so important, and they're to be valued. And friendship and friends are talked about quite a bit in the Bible.
Anyway, they still, all of them live in a different town, but they still get together, and they're all Christians, and then on Friday nights, instead of going out and carousing, they would go to one of their houses and have Bible study.
That's great. We had our 50-year reunion this past, believe it or not, 50-year reunion this past summer. Well, a few months ago. It was actually in September. And I got to see every one of those guys but the one that passed away. Everyone at the reunion. And it was so special. It really was. So let's review for a minute. 7 biblical New Year's resolutions. Meditate on God's word or read the Bible daily. Attend church regularly. Take care of yourself. Love others. Forgive others. Serve others. And then value your friendships. So, I thought it'd be interesting to find out how well Americans did with their New Year's resolutions. It's kind of funny. Well, it depends on how you look at it. It could be sad, could be funny. There was a Forbes survey that said when it comes to New Year resolutions, Americans, 22% of them quit the first week in the new year. 64% quit by February 1st. The average length of keeping a resolution was 3.7 months. And less than 10% succeeded in keeping their resolutions all year. And we're talking about biblical resolutions. So how do we keep those? Well, I got an answer for you. It's found in the Bible. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to work and your plans will be established. I like the way the New Living Translation reads. It says, commit your works to the Lord, your plan succeed. You won't fall into that 10% category at the end of next year, or that 64% that quit by February 1st. So, I pray that as we begin 2026, we'll look ahead, and we'll make some resolutions, and commit them to the Lord, and let's see how well we do in 2026 as far as keeping those resolutions. Any comments before we close?
You know, I don't know if I can be successful. Anytime make a resolution. If you want or a need, ask yourself this question. What would Jesus do? That helps.
Oh, yeah.
Not always successful.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? All right.
I think if you love the Lord, you can find that you can love yourself. And that's one thing we have to do. I have found to love some unlovable people. You have to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to clear something up about what I said. It wasn't because I was saying, Brett, you and so and so and so and so are going to meet. Wasn't my choice at all. And I'm not giving myself credit. It's a choice that they made.
Yeah.
And they, because they were so close, like you and your friends, they encouraged each other to be accountable.
And now he's a preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd have thought? I remember hearing this from my parents sometime after it happened, but I wasn't home one night, and Mom was concerned that I hadn't got back at a certain time, and Dad said, I'm not worried about him because I know who he's with. He's with his friends. And he knew that if anything was going to happen, there'd be 9 guys right there with me. But and she said, I was fine after that, after he told me that. So good friends make a difference. All right, well, thank y'all for being here and participating. And hopefully the first team will be back next Sunday, and we'll get back into Billy's study. So let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time to get over 2025 time together as we look ahead and start planning for 2026. I pray that you just put on our hearts the right resolutions we should have as individuals as we go through this next year and begin the new year. Father, we begin with expectancy. Everything is new. It's a new start. And I pray that you give us wisdom as we go into 2026. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.